What I'd like you to do for our scripture is Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So I just recently in my Bible reading completed Psalm 119. If you're following the same schedule as I am, you just recently completed it also. So I thought we could use this psalm for our communion services over the next almost 2 years. So there's 22 stanzas, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and this psalm reflects that alphabet. When we went through the psalm some years ago, we didn't work our way through each stanza of Psalm 119. I was looking back in my notes, and it was actually October 31st, 2010, we did a Psalm 119 Sunday. So I had a sermon in the morning from Psalm 119, sermon in the afternoon from Psalm 119, and then a Bible study on Psalm 119 that day. So so we didn't go through it in detail. And as I was reading through it, some of the stanzas, certainly I thought we could lend ourselves to the Christian life and what we owe our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thought, why not try that for our communion services going forward for a while? And I think that's the plan that we have right now anyway. So the psalm is an acrostic psalm. Now, sometimes in the Hebrew, they'll do this. They'll start one verse with the Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then the next verse will start with Beit, that's the second letter. And then Kof, or Gimel, and then Daleth, and Kof, I think, is fifth. I think that's right. H-E? Oh, Hey. Hey. That's right. I don't know my Hebrew alphabet like I used to. Kof comes along one of the times. Anyway, we won't worry about that because we're not being examined on Hebrew. But the way this one works is every verse in this section, the first eight verses, starts with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And that roughly corresponds to our letter A. Right? So there's a similarity. Now you look at the form, and I'll put the verse on the screen, and you'll see Aleph and the form of Aleph on the side there. It sort of looks like an S in a way in our drawing, but that is the form of Aleph. And it's somewhat related. The alphabets, the history of alphabets are somewhat related. So coming from the Phoenician, it goes into the Hebrew, but it also goes into the Indo-European languages. And so we have A, B, C, and you have Aleph, Beit, Gimel. That's very similar. A, B, well, G in the Hebrew alphabet. Anyhow, every one of these verses starts with the letter Aleph in the Hebrew. So you can't quite reproduce that in the English, but it's something to take note of. Now, what I'm going to do as I go through each section, I'm going to use the label that Derek Kidner, in his commentary on the Psalms, gave to the section, and he called this one the Undivided Heart. The Undivided Heart. Now, the big theme, the overarching theme in Psalm 119 is the Word of God. And consequently, the themes don't directly relate to redemption. But I think that we can relate their teaching to redemption without too much difficulty. So we'll start with verse 1, and we'll just start working on it. We'll read it, and then we'll start talking about what the psalmist is doing. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Your commandments. I shall give thanks to You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. All right, so the undivided heart. The first thing in this psalm, the first point, is the psalmist looks outward. Notice how he says in verse 1 through 3, how blessed are those, verse 2, how blessed are those, and then verse 3, they do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. So he's looking outward. He sees blessing in those who walk with God. especially in the first two verses. He uses the word blameless. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. The word here really means whole or complete. It's a big theme in the Old Testament. When we talk about the priests had to be whole men. If they had a bodily defect, they were disqualified from being priests. If they were, obviously, they had to be of the descendants of Aaron. So if they were a descendant of Aaron, they could eat of the holy food. They could be supplied with the priestly, you know, supply of food, within their order and so forth, but they could not serve if they were not whole, if they were not blameless. Right? So how blessed are those whose way is complete, is blameless, is fulfills God's will, who walk in the law of the Lord. The word here is Torah, in the Torah of the Lord. And of course, that refers to the first five books of the Old Testament. It's called the Torah, the law. And the many commentators have suggested that the Psalms themselves are a meditation on the Torah. And we see that here. And certainly when we see this theme of the Word of God, or the law, the statutes, the commandments, all of those things have to do with God's communications. And Psalm 119 is definitely a meditation on God's law. And it says here, how blessed are those who observe His testimonies. And the word here, observe, is maybe more, a better translation would be preserve. It means to watch, to guard, to secure in a safe place. So, how blessed are those who make God's testimonies secure, who take care in their lives to walk with God, to obey Him and to live for Him. And then, of course, to seek Him with their whole heart, which brings up in our mind Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And so the psalmist is saying that he observes other people, he sees people who are full of blessing because they have filled their life with God's Word and they have diligently tried to follow the Lord to the best of their abilities. They walk carefully with the Lord. I think if I look back into my life, I have met people, known people, who were very faithful Christians. They were an example of the believer. When I was a young man and working as a youth pastor in a church, I knew people who really wanted to follow the Lord. They were very faithful servants, and I was always very impressed with their testimony. It's interesting that that church that I worked in, some years later, when our boys were going to school, they started working in a church, and some of those same people were still there, faithfully serving the Lord. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. Verse 3 characterizes their activity. These are, it's not only blessing but habit. The verbs here give the sense that this is a habit. They also are doing no unrighteousness. Now it's not the same as Greek. Hebrew doesn't have the same verb tenses as Greek, so don't. It's not that present tense thing. I think in Greek, I looked at this, and one of the commentaries said these are perfect tenses, but that doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know anything about Hebrew. All right, but anyway, or very little. All right, so they are. But this is about their practice. They're not doing any unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. The negative and the positive. They're not going off to the side. They're not. They are going towards God. It reminds us of the picture in Psalm 1, the blessed man. The blessed man doesn't sit in the seat of the scorners, nor walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Did I get that right order? I can't remember if that's the right order. Anyway, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and in His counsels day and night. Okay, so that's the picture. This is the picture of somebody to emulate. So as the psalmist begins this psalm, he thinks about those who are an example to him. He's looking outward. He's looking at what other believers present to him as an example of a believer, what a believer should be. These are people who love God and love His Word and want to follow Him and obey Him. And then he looks upward. Verse 4. He looks upward. The psalmist looks upward. You, Father, you, God, have ordained your precepts, that we should keep them diligently. So the Lord laid out the way of righteousness for his people to follow, and the righteous man submits to God's ordination for God's sake, not for the law's sake. It's not simply that we have a successful way of life, a discipline to follow. There's many people who live very disciplined lives in order to achieve some kind of end. And they feel that, you know, the discipline is good for the discipline's sake. But we have a discipline that has to do with a relationship with the God of heaven. We look outward, we see the blessing. When people follow this way, we look upward, and that is the one who motivates our way. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. And so then the rest of this stanza is the psalmist looking inward. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. That's his desire. He wants his ways established in God's will. And it's kind of interesting, this word established. When I think of established in English, I think of, you know, something that's solid, that's been there a long time. You'll see on the cornerstone of a building, the abbreviation, EST, established in, if it says like 1860 or something, well, that's, you know, that's pretty old. Sometimes people in sort of newer companies, you'll see the name of their company on their logo, established, you know, like 1999. Well, it's like, sounds a little pretentious, doesn't it? But it was way back then. That's impressive. They've been around a long time. So, established. But established here doesn't mean exactly that. It means to bring into being. Oh, that my ways might be created, you could say, to keep your statutes. Now, this doesn't come naturally. Okay, being established in God's ways, it's not something you can do by your own self-effort. You need God's regeneration to be established. God must bring a new man into being. The only way that we can follow any of God's precepts, any of God's will in the New Testament, as we read through the New Testament and study its direction for life, we find that it parallels the moral principles that guided the old ancient Israelites. The precepts, the statutes, the commandments of God. It parallels that. But what we find in the New Testament is that we are not simply given that law and said, all right, now do this. But we are given a spirit that creates within us a new heart that wants to do this. And so my ways can be established, can be created, can be born into us because we are born again. Then he says, I shall not be ashamed. By your commandments. And I thought that was quite an expression. When I look upon all your commandments, you know, when you read the Bible, you see some commandment, some imperative, does it bring shame? Oh, yeah, I did that last week. See, if I'm established to keep your statutes, if I'm created to keep your statutes and I'm living out that life, I can look God's law in the eye and not be ashamed. I can live for him and be satisfied that his spirit does not bring conviction when I look at his word. Then in verse 7, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. So here's the worship, right? So I can have a clean conscience if I'm created and living according to his will, and clean conscience for 6. And then I'll give thanks, I'll worship in verse 7. And then I shall keep your statutes, verse 8. I shall keep your statutes. This is God's will. It is God's doing in making us this new man. So the picture we have in this prayer is of a heart that is sensitive to God's blessing, the undivided heart, the heart that is made new by God's power and is committed to God's way. And so then he has that final prayer, do not forsake me utterly. And the way that we have the blessing of God, draw close to him, hear his word, have him change our heart and life, and live for him every day. The only way this can truly come about in a human life is by the regenerating power of God's word and God's son as well. All right, so I felt this was a very lovely little beginning. I don't have as much detail as I'd like to have, but it focuses our hearts. We look out and we see those who have a testimony of blessing because they live for God. We look up and we see our God who shows us the way to go. And now we have that commitment because we've been born again, and we think about how we should apply His Word to our lives, and then we have that blessing that the others as well have. So let's close with a word of prayer on the meditation here, and then we'll have our communion service. Our Father, we thank You for this time that we've had to look briefly into Your Word. We pray for Your blessing on this study. We pray that it might be something that stirs us up to serve You even more as we consider these words as a guide, a meditation for how to live our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.